Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where we're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're live from the Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchen Studios, beautiful downtown Grand Rapids. Boom, February's gone. Here we are, the first weekend in March. I don't know about where you're at, but where I was, it's been pretty warm. We kind of got that in like a lamb thing going. I'm hoping that the lion stays home at the end of the month. But I'm Jop, and he is Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, thanks, Jop. And it is feeling like spring, isn't it?
Yes, it is. So, spring ahead. Man. Saturday night, tonight.
Time to start thinking about getting some fishing going. If you didn't get out and do any ice fishing like I did not do this year, I am kind of looking at those rods hanging in my garage thinking I got to get the line out and stretch them out this spring because last year they sat idle all year.
Yeah, well, we were talking before the show. I said, I didn't do much this past week, but you just reminded me. I went out on Reed's Lake, which is a lake here in the greater Grand Rapids area, and we did our annual Boy Scout outing.
Oh, did you
put
the weenies on?
Yeah,
Reed's Lake.
So I get out there, and we got a little 8x8 tent that I put the grill in so the wind doesn't, you know, affect the cooking and all that other stuff. Well, we were expecting about 25 kids, and I got 80 hot dogs, so I cook up 40 of them, put them in a pan, and they're going to be ready to go when the kids get there at noon, right? And I've got my little pot of chili so I can make chili dogs for everybody. Whew, comes through the wind, blows that tent into the grill table, knocks it over, and I'm cooking on the tech.
No.
And I had the wherewithal to grab the handles of the tech on the outside. I caught it. But the chili was all over me and all over the ground. And I lost the 40 hot dogs because the ice was so slick, there's no snow, that we put down sawdust so that I could not slip around inside the tent. So all the dogs are in the sawdust. Threw them away and started over, and it ended up that we were fine. We had enough. That was a lighter turnout.
You only had 20 kids show
up. It was a lighter
turnout.
But anyway, yeah, so what a mess. I thought we were good, but that's a hell of a wind that comes down through there and blows a tent into the back of your table and tipped it over.
You didn't have it augered
in. We did have it augered in, but it was one of those where those fiberglass rods pop out.
Oh.
Well, they popped in.
They
caved in and hit the back of my table and flipped over my grill, man. It was crazy.
You got to bring the 30-foot the 30-foot shanty down next time.
Right. But anyway, we got through it, but it was a little mess. That's what happened.
That's exciting.
Yeah, not really.
In a bad way.
It was a mess.
Yeah,
but
well,
whatever.
That's too bad. Sorry to hear
that. Yeah.
I had some great grilling so far. I rebuilt my gas grill, and I keep my my charcoal, my Cajun, in a better spot so I can get at it more often. So I'm grilling a lot more right now. Now that there's not so much snow, I can grill like anytime I want, and it's so nice to get back into it. But you know, I hope next year when the winter comes, my winter grilling scenario will be all buttoned up the way my plan is going. But anyway,
you've been talking about that for a few years now.
Well, I finally have a solid plan though. So
okay.
Thanks for being a doubting Thomas.
No, I'm a realist, dude. I'm a realist. Yeah.
All my kids came home, so I got to grill every day, tons of food.
Right.
And one of the things I did was just some split chicken breasts. Another thing I did was some Sobeys kielbasa, which turned out really good.
Mm, that's so good.
I did a whole bunch of breakfast sausage, I think Saturday or Sunday morning, on the gas grill, and it's Sobeys Lynx, their breakfast sausage.
Right.
That is so lean, and it's the perfect breakfast sausage to grill. Even if you have a crappy gas grill that wants to catch everything on fire, those Lynx are safe because you don't get a bunch of fat running off them.
Right. They got casings on them, too, right?
Yeah, yeah, they're beautiful.
So, yep.
And
very
then
cool.
I did, for Friday night, we had a party at the house, and I did just a bunch of these big jalapenos. And I did the boat side of them. You know, I cut them lengthwise, gutted them, and I made up some Sobeys breakfast sausage, cream cheese, some Parmesan, some onion, and that was about it. Then I stuffed them, and I put a little bit of Memphis seasoning on top. And then when I had them all, I put them on a rack that I could carry out to the grill because they're tipsy. They're
you don't like want to handle them too many times.
They're like
exactly.
Canoes, you know? Right. So I had my grilling rack, and I had them all up on there. And then I took and I dusted them with some brown sugar right before I grilled them. I'll tell you what, that was just a beautiful balance. They went, that was the fastest thing to go. And a lot of the people there were worried about, oh, is it going to be hot?
Yeah,
no,
right.
No. They didn't worry because one bite and it's like.
I would have never thought to put the sugar on them. That's interesting.
Yeah,
did
I know.
It
weird.
Get hot enough to caramelize or not so much? Probably not because you weren't on direct heat, right?
I wouldn't say it caramelized, but it just gave you a nice little sweet and sour at the end, a little sweet and hot at the end, you know?
Sweet heat, baby.
It wasn't like raw, but it wasn't caramelized. But I did grill them with the lid down, so it kind of melted in, I guess, enough.
Right.
Yeah. And it was just a little bit. It wasn't over.
So this rack that you put them on, was it up off the grates? I mean,
it's just a typical grilling rack with handles and the holes all over the bottom of it, you know, your basic.
Okay.
I think from Grill Daddy or from Mr. Barbecue or one of these companies I used to rep. I don't know.
Right.
I got a bunch of those little
accessories. So they were not directly on the grates. They were on a pan, which is on top of the grates.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Yep, got it.
Got plenty of heat. They still wanted to burn. I had to go to low temperature. But, man, what a nice way to do a bunch of jalapenos. And they look so inviting. And we had, 12, 15 people, mostly my kids and their spouses. And, you bring this nice big rack out there. I think I took a picture of it. I should post it on the Grilling Guys.
Yeah, it's always
Facebook
good to have a picture
page.
Of your popper.
I shoot a lot of shots of food, and it's I maybe too much. I don't know. But the Sobe Kielbasa, that is it Parkside?
Yep.
What they call it?
Yep.
Oh, my gosh.
He got that recipe from another butcher that went out of business, and he swore it to secrecy, and he has. But it is unbelievable. He's in that he's not anymore because he won it too many times. But they have this Kielbasa idol where all the – West Side Markets in Grand Rapids get together and compete, and it's a public opinion thing. And Tim won it with that Parkside Kielbasa,
right,
like 4 or 5 years in a row. So he decided just to not participate anymore,
right,
being a gentleman with his other meat guys because it's that good. I mean, it's crazy. If you've never been to Sobe Meats on Remembrance Drive in the northwest side of Grand Rapids, it's worth the trip just to go there for this stuff called Parkside Kielbasa.
It's a Polish thing,
right?
And since it's a Polish thing, it's a perfect time to introduce the Polish prince of the food business. Bob Dubiski's here with us.
Hi, Bob. Thank you so much for having me on the show. I don't know about the
You've
prince.
Never been to the Kielbasa Idol, though, have you?
Well, honestly, I have not, but
you got
to
go.
I'm planning to go real quickly.
Right.
Real
He'd be a great judge, Jop, you know?
Yeah, better than
quite
me.
He's quite the meat expert.
Right. Yeah. He's not the, after about the 12th bite of somebody else's kielbasa, they kind of all taste the same. I'll just
So in the next in segment, that. Bob's going to talk about fish a little bit, but why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about your food and your meat history and seafood history so they can understand your depth?
Okay, so quickly, my grandfather had a grocery store. My dad had a grocery store. I worked at Meijer for 33 years as a meat cutter, seafood buyer the last 12. And so I've got a well-rounded background in meat and seafood with all that 33 years at Meijer.
Wow, 33 years and 12, that's do that math. You aren't that old, Bob. Come on now. You started child labor.
He was three
back
when
there.
He started.
Right, standing back there with Hendrik Meyer.
right.
He was just a shrimp.
And now he sells them.
And I do sell. Now I sell to Meyer.
Yeah, so coming up next, we've got Bob Dubiski. He's going to talk about different types and styles of fish that could go on your grill. He's got some prepackaged stuff here he wants to talk about as well. So you listen to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back. The cult of personality.